Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
It is sinful to eat and drink to excess, to be fixated on food. And I think as a society, that is a great temptation for us. So I think this message on gluttony is timely, that overeating and drunkenness are condemned in Scripture.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Enjoying food and drink is a God-given pleasure. But did you realize that eating and drinking too much or too little can be a sin? It's all about focus and what's at the center of your life. Today on The Verdict, Pastor John Monroe continues our study on the seven deadly sins with a fascinating lesson about the sin of gluttony and eating and drinking to the glory of God. So let's join him now.
Our topic last time and again today is the deadly sin of gluttony. We're continuing our series on the seven deadly sins. As I said last time, one of the great joys of life is to enjoy a delicious meal, particularly with our family and friends. The Bible does not say that eating and drinking are sinful, but it is sinful to eat and it's sinful to drink to excess. Achieving balance in the Christian life is difficult. Proverbs 23 verse 1 says, "Put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite." There are people in society who drink too much and are addicted to drugs. So we're learning today from Paul's wonderful statement in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 that we are to eat and drink and do all to the glory of God. Let's look at the biblical teaching on gluttony and drunkenness, because we're also going to deal with drunkenness. Turn in your Bibles first to Proverbs, Proverbs 23, verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, observe carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite. That's a graphic way of saying don't be a glutton. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Here is a warning. When faced with delicacies, don't be deceived. Don't be given to overindulgence. Just because there is food there is the point. Just because it's served to you, your ruler has plenty of money and plenty of food, and there's this whole stack of food in front of you. Just because it's there doesn't mean that you have to eat it. We would say, don't make a pig of yourself. What about drunkenness? Some of you struggle with this sin of drunkenness, of drugs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler. Whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Chapter 23, Proverbs 23, verse 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Verse 20, be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Strong statement against drunkards. Don't drink to excess. Don't spend time with people who are getting drunk. It's true, the psalmist says that wine gladdens the heart of man, Psalm 104, verse 15. But there are those, again, who drink too much, who get drunk. Look down to verse 29 of Proverbs 23. Who has woe, who has sorrow, who has strife, who has complaining, who has wounds without cause, who has redness of eyes. Pretty good description of a hangover, isn't it? Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. But that describes the alcoholic, doesn't it? Person, they wake up, they feel absolutely lousy, but let me have another drink. Can I say particularly to our students? You've heard this before, but here's your pastor telling you. Don't get drunk. You're going off to college? Do not take that drug. Do not take that alcohol. It's very easy to begin. It's very, very difficult to stop. Paul describes the party scene in Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness. He's writing to Christians in the first century. Don't get involved in that kind of party. Leave it. Don't go to it if you're invited. If you find yourself in it, leave it as quickly as you can. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Good advice, isn't it? Not just to students, but to all of us. You end up, you can say, well, I'm different. I won't get involved in this. I won't take this. I won't do that. And before you know it, you're absorbed in that culture. And it's going to take you further and further away from the Lord. You know that. Some of you have been on that path. And God in his grace has arrested you and stopped you. And you're now a new creature in Christ. One of the works of the flesh, Paul describes in Galatians 5, verse 21, is drunkenness. Don't get drunk. God never, ever, ever wants anyone drunk. Do not get drunk. You hear people boasting of it. In the UK, I think possibly here as well, we have a culture where people deliberately set out on a Friday night and they're going to get blasted. I'm going to get drunk. This is the idea of having a good time. Drowning your sorrows, living in this escape world, and then waking up with a terrible headache and wondering, what on earth have I done when I was under the influence of drink? Do not get drunk. Condemnation against gluttony and drunkenness. There are two biblical principles, very quickly, which I want to leave with you, which will help you. Two principles to live by, particularly in dealing with the sin of excess. First of all, eat and drink to the glory of God. That's a great principle. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Aren't you glad the Bible has got all the answers? In fact, the Bible has got answers to questions we've not yet asked. That's how up to date it is. And the Corinthians knew about sin. They knew about parties and eating and drinking. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. My teenage years, trying to argue with my father about various things, whether they're right and wrong, he used to refer, but is it going to be edifying? It may be lawful. It may not be sinful to go to that kind of party, but is it going to be helpful to your life as a Christian? Good question. Verse 24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Your actions impact others. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the grounds of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's a gift of God. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you're disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then don't eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So, here's a principle, verse 31. I have it underlined in my new Bible. I underlined it just last night. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isn't that a great principle? Now, the context here is whether believers should eat meat which was offered to idols. That's not our question. But food and drink are gifts of God. And the point is that as we eat and as we drink, we're to consider how our actions impact others. Will someone be offended? Will someone be built up? I need to understand that Christians look on some of these matters differently. We have different consciences. But the principle in verse 31 will guide you. Even in the trivial things of life, you might say, like eating or drinking, can you do this to the glory of God? Everything I do, now that I'm a follower of Christ, I'm to do not to satisfy my selfish desires, not to implement the agenda of John Monroe, but I'm to do this to the glory of God. That's a high standard, isn't it? My goal then in life is not self-indulgence, to glorify God. When you're tempted to eat too much, ask, can I do this to the glory of God? Will anyone be offended by my actions? Is this building up others? We're made in the image of God. We're creations of God. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, not only have you been created by God, you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is, I have been bought. Once I was a slave to my selfish desires, whatever they were, but my Lord Jesus Christ has come. He's delivered me from my slavery, from the slave market of sin. He has bought me, and think of the price, his precious blood. I am now not my own to live my own life, which I really want to do, my own agenda, my own ambitions. No, I am now the property of Jesus Christ. I have that stamp on me. You belong to me. I am a slave of Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know that I belong to Jesus Christ? And now, go over to 1 Corinthians 6. And now, because of that, I am to glorify God with my body. Do you do that? Do you glorify God with your body? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I am to take care of my body. That means no self-indulgence, no gluttony, no drunkenness. I'm to take care of my body. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved by the grace of God, miracles happen. One of them is that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And now that you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you're not to abuse your body by being a glutton or a drunkard. Glorify God in your body. You say, well, I do that. I really take care of my body. But there can be an excess even in that. Look at 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. You say, well, yes, I'm going to take care of my body. That's really my speciality in life. No, that is not to be your number one thing you do in life. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent silly myths, but rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. You work out, you take care of your body, you admire your muscles in the mirror. That's fine. Good to take care of you. Good to exercise. But, says Paul, understand this, that's only of little value. There's something much more important than physical exercise, and that is spiritual. Train yourself for godliness. I'm in training. The scriptures tell us how to train ourselves for godliness. Paul's going to tell us in 2 Timothy about the word of God, so that I know scripture, so that I am ready for every good work, so that I am strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, great thing to do to exercise. Nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's commendable. But remember this, it's only for a little while. in training myself for godliness, this is for my life now, and, says Paul, for the life to come. It's very interesting, isn't it? The excuses we give not to read our Bible, not to come to church, not to lead our family in devotion. Do you know the most common reason? We don't have time. Come on, man. You spend all that time in the gym, and you can't spend 10 minutes in this book. You spend all that time working out, and you say you don't have time in your family, in an evening or wherever it is, to get the family around, open the scriptures, read a few verses, and pray. Wrong priority, isn't it? First things first. What's the first thing? Is it your physical exercise? No. That's not to be the first thing. First thing is God's business. Part of that, yes, is taking care of yourself, but of much more value is the eternal. Here's the first principle then. Do all to the glory of God. Secondly, be filled, be controlled by the Spirit. Our time is gone, but let me read you the important verse. Ephesians 5, verse 17, don't be foolish, understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's the will of the Lord. Don't live a foolish life, an empty life, a life of self-indulgence. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. You hear me? Those of you that are getting drunk, those of you on drugs, you hear me? Don't do that. That's debauchery. That's against the teaching of Scripture. Stop it. You say, well, you know, it's kind of got me in its control. That's the problem, isn't it? You're being controlled by a drug. You're being controlled by the booze. You're being controlled by your fleshly appetites. Don't do that. Here it is. But be filled with the Spirit. Every single believer, true believer, is indwelt by the Spirit. It's a gift. That's God's stamp on me, that I'm a follower of Christ. I'm indwelt with the Spirit. But every Christian is not filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. You invite me to your home. I'm in your home. I'm not in control of your home. The Holy Spirit indwells me, but the Holy Spirit is to control me. Every aspect of my life, even in the seeming trivial things like what I eat and what I drink, is under the control of the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. What's the problem, brothers and sisters? Our problem is we're allowing our fleshly lusts, our own desires, to control us. We're allowing the dictates of our culture to set our priorities. Don't do that. Your enjoyment in life, your comfort in life, your eating, your drinking, your accumulation of things, that can never be the first priority. Your first priority is the kingdom of God. You say, but I feel so weak. Yes, in ourselves, you're totally weak. Satan, with all of his strategies, can easily get the victory over you, but no. Every day as I get up, I'm to submit to the Spirit. Guide me. Fill me. Give me your strength. Give me your wisdom. What's the result of it? Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Paul says similarly in Colossians 3, to let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Same principle of doing all to the glory of God. Can you thank God for this situation? Problem is, we're very unthankful, aren't we? We take. And we complain when life doesn't go the way we want. To be filled with the Spirit is to be full of joy. It's to be full of thankfulness. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The Spirit produces gentleness and humility in us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 was part of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness, self-control, That's it. That's what the Spirit does, as the Spirit flows in you and through you. And to be thankful. In terms of food and drink, do you give thanks? You sit down. Don't do that just as a formality. You sit down with your family, just pause and say, let's pray. You say, well, we'll say grace. Yes, you're asking for God's grace. And that's wonderful. Couldn't I? Yesterday, we sat down at a beautiful meal in Asheville. I was officiating a wedding, and we sat down, and it was a beautiful meal. Some of the people at the table we knew, there were new people there. It was a wonderful experience. I don't feel bad about that. It wasn't self-indulgence. It was the enjoyment of life. Good food, good fellowship, meeting new people, a time of joy, a time of celebration, a time of giving thanks. But the focus is not on satisfying my selfish lusts. The focus is on glorifying God. Have you made food your idol? Eating too much or too little? Always having that third or fourth helping at the meal? Or trying to live on a carrot and a lettuce leaf? Don't be like that. Don't allow food to define who you are. Live life to the full. Live life to joy. Think of the beauty of the weather here, the foliage. To be alive, to experience the goodness of God. To be with family and friends, to be in the house of the Lord. We thank God, we praise God, we glorify God, and thank God that in His grace, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes on the cross our sins, yes, sins of gluttony and of drunkenness and self-indulgence and excess. And as we come to Him, He wraps His arms round us and cleanses us through His precious blood, fills us with His Spirit, and now says, now you go and live a life, not of self-indulgence, not of excess, but live life to the glory of God. A life of joy, a life of freedom, a life of praise, where we thank God for all of the good things of life.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and the end of a lesson about gluttony. Today's message comes from John's newest series, where he's examining each one of the seven deadly sins. And to go along with this series and enhance your own personal Bible study, we have a new resource we'd love to share with you. John has just released a brand new booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters. And you can get a copy absolutely free. This booklet will help you understand more about the origin and significance of sin. In fact, it's necessary to have a clear and biblical understanding of sin so we can appreciate our need for a Savior. You'll be able to follow along with the lessons of our current study with additional notes and biblical discussion. So request your free copy of this powerful booklet called Deadly: Why Sin Still Matters today by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're on our website, you'll have the opportunity to help reach other listeners with the truth of God's Word by supporting The Verdict with a donation of any amount. Your financial gift will help us continue sharing the gospel with neighbors in your community and across the world. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to by visiting theverdict.org. And then just a quick reminder, if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict podcast, available on your podcast app. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you placed your trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord? This means that every aspect of our lives, including our eating and drinking, is to be submitted to His Lordship. Authentic followers of Jesus Christ are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Seek to be controlled by the Spirit, and God will help you with everything, including eating and drinking, all under the Lordship of Christ. And don't forget to tune in next time as we're going to think of the deadly sin of greed.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.